Jacking her.
House Committee on Judiciary coming order today is May 13th, 2013. On the schedule today, Senate Bill 812 will be removed, and that's going to be taken care of with a work group. And we're going to start today continuing public hearing on Senate Bill 835, and we had testimony that we ran over on Friday, on Thursday. So the first, ask Representative Hoyle, please.
Hi, Val Hoyle. I represent House District 14, West Eugene, and Junction City. I would like to first thank you very much for listening to my testimony, and would like to come here and say that I would be in support of this bill, Senate Bill 835, with the Dash 9 amendments and the specific change that we requested and talked to all of the different interested parties was to add the word intentional in line 5. We would delete line 16 through 19 of the printed bill and insert the following. And what we changed was we added the word intentionally in that last line. So it says that the person must intentionally rope or lasso the legs of an equine and then intentionally cause the equine to trip or fall. My concern was that if in a rodeo you are doing something to protect a rider or a spectator, or a horse gets out of the arena and you're trying to capture the horse, and in the process of protecting the rider, the spectator, or the horse itself, the horse is tripped, but not intentionally tripped. Under the way that the bill was written previously, that would be illegal. And so with this word intentionally in the Dash 9s, I'm very happy with this bill. Again, we checked with people from all different sides, and they seemed happy with this, those who could support the bill in the first place. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Representative Hoyle? Yeah. Representative Olson?
How are you going to prove that degree for the burden of preferred intent?
You would prove intent if you had an event where the purpose of the event was to trip a horse, then that would be illegal. If somebody went in, again, not to intentionally trip the horse, but to rope a horse for other purposes, that would not be intentional.
So follow up, Mr. Chair. Okay, so I'm just curious. What if you don't have an event that's specifically designed for that, for tripping?
Right.
Intentional. And someone from the crowd or a judge or something observes, well, that act right there appears to be intentional.
Again, if the event wasn't specific to, and the purpose wasn't to trip the horse, but you were roping a horse for other purposes and the horse were to trip, but that wasn't the intent of what you were doing, then that wouldn't be intentional.
Okay. I'll move on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any further questions? Thank you, Representative.
You're welcome.
Jones, Dillhammer.
Yeah.
Torgel, Corruption,
Senate, and today we have a lot of people testifying, so I'm going to ask people to try to keep it to no more than 3 minutes in their testimony so we can get everybody through. Excuse me. We'll call Joan Steelhammer, George Uklich. I said that wrong. And Sarah Eiler. Eiler, please. Uklich. Please go ahead and just identify yourself by name for the record. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Barker and rest members of the committee. I'm Joan Steelhammer. I was born and raised in Salem, Oregon, and now reside in Bend, where I've been a real estate broker for 33 years. And I also started 10 years ago a nonprofit horse rescue called Equine Outreach. We currently house about 130 horses. We're one of the largest sanctioned and nonprofits in Oregon. I've worked closely with law enforcement through the past 10 years and also with many farmers, ranchers, and people of all kinds. I'm here to support Senate Bill 835, 8 and 9 amendments included, and I want to share a little bit of my confusion. Some 25 years ago, I was here testifying to raise dogfighting to the standard of a felony in the state of Oregon. And at that time, I scratched my head and thought, who in heck could possibly testify against raising the penalties for such a hellacious abuse of animals? There isn't a trainer, a professional, an expert, never mind the animal rights people or the animal rescuers. I do not know who can possibly argue against horse tripping being abolished in the sense that it's a sport. It's not done in order to train the horse, manage the horse, anything like that. It is simply a cheap entertainment, and it's a sport that causes death, injury, pain, and suffering. And my fear is that everybody's scared of the boogeyman, that this is going to go into different venues of ranch life. There is truly not a buckaroo, a cowboy, a vet, a law enforcement agency, or the Professional Cowboy Association who sanctions this event. So I would say to the stock suppliers, if it's not a sanctioned event, then get your stock up to the standard where you can supply stock to rodeos, which will go on to responsible and adhere to the standards of the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. I'm not an expert. I don't expect you people to be on what is hurting a horse, how it's done, how big the lasso is, what happens. The bottom line is when an animal is moving at Mach 50 and you throw a rope around it and trip it and the crowd cheers, that is not sport. That is abuse. And that is plain and simple. And I think 25 years from now, I hope somebody is here testifying against something else that's brutal. But, you know, it's a no-brainer. Horse person, non-horse person. There's no benefit in this event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Barker and committee members, my name is Sarah Sillen Eiler. I'm a bit nervous today, so bear with me. I am from Portland, Oregon. I'm a small business owner in Portland. I'm also a lifelong equestrian horse owner. I grew up around rodeos and have a great respect for the American rodeo tradition. I hope to share some of my personal history to let you know why I'm here in strong support of SB 35, as well as Dash 9 Amendment, and why I feel it's important for Oregon to stop the terrible practice of horse tripping. So I have a video, and for time purposes, I'll play the video while I read my testimony.
Yeah, yeah.
Could I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering where this
Do you want me
place?
To pause? I can pause it really quickly. This was in Christmas Valley in 2008.
Thank you.
I felt a close connection with horses since I was a very small child. When I was growing up, I had severe learning disabilities to the point where I really couldn't read fully until 6th or 7th grade. School is a nonstop struggle for me. So I grew up incredibly insecure, and having a barn to go to and horses to ride really gave me something to actually be confident about. Where I was rewarded for my hard work, and not only that, but horses taught me responsibility, tenacity, how to build a relationship, respect, compassion, the lesson to never quit, that's why I'm here, and most importantly, how to care for something other than myself. Having all of these experiences as a child was a true gift, but the most important lesson I learned was to respect those who are without a voice and still do as you ask, even if they have no choice in the matter. Horses are completely reliant on humans for a space to graze, for food, for water, and for a home. Sensitivity and compassion are key to having a successful and rewarding relationship with such an animal. So after my lifetime of over 20 years holding these animals in such high regard, I hear of horse stripping, and it brought me to tears. Horses got me through the hardest times in my life, and it is so disappointing and so hard for me to comprehend why a practice would even be in existence. But the fact is that it does happen here in Oregon, both in so-called ranch rodeos in eastern Oregon and in charrito rodeos in the Portland area. SB 835 is a modest common sense measure to protect horses from the cruelty of tripping for sport and recreation. Horse tripping does not happen in the Pendleton Roundup, the St. Paul Rodeo, the Sisters Rodeo, or any other major rodeos in Oregon. Small groups of individuals get together and hold their events away from the public view. They chase young horses, often yearlings, into the arena and rope their front legs, as you can see in the video, from under them, causing them to crash headfirst into the dirt. These young horses too often suffer crippling injuries, and they are so psychologically traumatized that often they can never bring themselves to trust people again. SB 835 is not intended to affect mainstream rodeo in any way. Many of the states that have banned horse tripping are cowboy states that still enjoy a strong rodeo tradition. This bill is not intended to interfere with legitimate roping that occurs on ranches and farms. As it states in the bill, it only applies to equines or members of the horse family, and it only applies to horse tripping that happens for recreation or for sport. Horses have fought wars for us, they've transported us for hundreds of years, and now they deserve to be treated with at least half the decency as we treat one another with. Please don't let these amazing animals go to waste.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, George.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is George Okulich, here on behalf of the Oregon Humane Society. I know you have a lot of people today, so I'll keep my testimony relatively brief. I did hand out sort of testimony from Sharon Harmon, our executive director, so you have that on file. Established in 1868, the Oregon Humane Society is the state's largest and oldest animal welfare organization. We have over 50,000 supporters around the state, and we're not affiliated with any other local shelter or national group. We really think the Dash 9 Amendment is sort of a win-win scenario. It addresses what many of our constituents like in terms of the ability to be able to go and see rodeos and enjoy rodeos while at the same time prohibiting horse tripping. And, you know, sort of put it into perspective, you know, the average horse weighs over 1,000 pounds and can reach up speeds of to 40 miles an hour. And sort of what we're trying to prevent here is that horse being abruptly stopped and caused tripped falling to the ground, which inevitably causes much damage to these horses. Again, like people said before, this is a activity that's been banned in cowboy living states like Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. I think we certainly can do it here in Oregon. So we ask you to support 835 and the Dash 9 amendments.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you, panel. Judge Rasty, Wendy McKenzie, and Rob Miller.
Nobody
yes. They may be in the overflow room coming up, so just please go ahead and identify yourself for the record.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I'm Steve Grasty. I'm Harney County Judge from Burns, Oregon. You have a letter from me that I think was delivered last week, but I just quickly want to recap what I heard watching that testimony a week ago. We sat in a regular county court meeting and watched the testimony. And I saw my friends, family members, and my constituents here talking about what they do. As a matter of fact, some of them were in the video you just watched. And if you watch that video, what you saw is they were pulling them over when they got them stopped after they head roped them. They weren't tripping them, with one exception in that movie. It's been one of the problems with this all the way along. We've seen exaggerated examples of this. You all met Glenn Shelley last week, the guy with the flat brim hat and the lariat with him, and he'll tell me when I get home that I use the wrong term. But he's a real guy. He said he got asked by a young man in this building, was he for real? Yeah, he's for real. And he loves those critters. He loves those horses. He takes care of them. He protects them. He'll kick a guy out of his event permanently for intentionally tripping a horse. Will it happen? The horses are athletes. The riders are athletes. We've seen deaths in football games. It happens. It's not what anybody intends to. This is also a part of our culture that is so important that we don't let this urban-rural divide break this state up over and over. I saw more Native Americans show up to testify. I don't watch all the testimony, certainly, but holy mackerel, when you got the cowboys showing up, the Native Americans showing up and saying, we grew up together, and we grew up in a culture where we protect our animals. That's very heartfelt from them. No one was here to exaggerate that. They were telling you the truth and what they do. And any one of you that's been at one of these and watched this and thinks it's abuse, then I think you ought to vote for this bill. But if you haven't been, take the time and come out to Eastern Oregon, see these events, and judge for yourself before you vote for it. I am vehemently opposed to, even with amendments, this bill. Let this thing go away. Take a look at it on the ground and see if you really believe this is going on. These people think the world of their critters. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Wani McKenzie. I'm a 38-year-old member of the Jordan Valley Rodeo Board, and I'd like to talk to you about the rules we have in our horse roping at the Jordan Valley Rodeo, and I'm opposed to Senate Bill 835. And like you heard earlier, we take these animals and we're very serious about the welfare of them, and we have many rules in place to protect the animals in our rodeo. We have 3 field judges in the arena at all times, and we don't use rubber on our horns so that they don't come tight, or the rope doesn't come tight quick, and to keep from harming the animals. And then when the rope comes tight, they don't have to fall to have the time stop. Just quick as the ropes come tight, the time is stopped, the animal is turned loose. The stock must not be handled rough at any time, and the ropers will be disqualified by the field judge, which I am one of the field judges at the Jordan Valley Rodeo. And if the animal is injured at any time, you are disqualified. I mean, if the horse even gets hurt at any time, no fault of yours, you're going to be disqualified. The rules are in place to protect the animals at all times. And then we get our stock from Wally Blossom. He's an Indian from Hawaii, Nevada. And this stock, we are training these horses to go on to the Professional Rodeo Association. There was a horse in there, my daughter called Bigfoot, and she tried to buy it from him, and he wouldn't sell it because that's how he gets his stock for other rodeos. And then as we are roping the horses, the field judges, we try and help the contestants. The contestants will get caught up in the moment. We try and talk them through it so that they don't hurt the animal at any time. And most of the people that come to our rodeo are good stocklers, good horse handlers, good stockmen, and most of them have been to many, many clinics. And I'd like to invite you guys all to come to our rodeo. It's this coming weekend. If you guys get a chance, come on over and just witness it, you know, firsthand before you vote on this bill. So you'll see how sincere we are about moving the horses around, the way they're handled, and they are handled in the utmost way. And by the way, my ranch is GAP 4 certified. We go to all the humane ways of handling our animals. Thank you very much. Do you guys have any questions?
Are there any questions for this? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for either or both of you. It seems like we might not be saying, different sides are not saying different things. It seems to me that you and your constituents really do respect horses. You've grown up with horses. I respect that. The Dash 9 Amendment, and I recognize you don't have the amendment in front of you, would limit this to only the intentional tripping of animals, which I gather is simply not tolerated in your event.
It's not.
Why would you be opposed then to the bill if it were amended to only apply to that narrow group of intentional acts?
So, Chair Barker, Representative Barton, in my take, when you add the word not intentional. What do you do when a veterinarian wants to take an animal down? Bulldogging a horse isn't a good idea as well. You've got to have some kind of techniques. So the question's going to be, who are we going to have go out and enforce that? Is the sheriff going to go out and try and identify, did they intentionally take it down, and was that maybe not for the purpose they meant?
In the Dash 9 amendments, they it's limited to the purpose of a rodeo contest, exhibition, entertainment, or sport.
Wouldn't apply to a veterinarian.
No, wouldn't apply to a veterinarian. At least as it's written out in the Dash 9. So I just wanted to make that clear for the record. Thank you.
And it would be, one of the questions is how would you prove that? Would be difficult to prove. It'd have to be beyond reasonable doubt that the person intended or did it purposely.
But Mr. Chair, since the rules of their competition penalize someone for injuring or taking down a horse, I would think it would be impossible to prove that someone in that competition had intentionally done so. They'd be violating the rules of the contest. So I think the amendment is consistent with protecting what the legitimate rodeo competitions are all about.
That's my reading as well, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Please, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, my name is Robert Miller. I am not a buckaroo or a cowboy. I was raised in the Willamette Valley up in Newburgh, went to the University of Oregon, graduated from the law school, and have practiced law in Eugene since 1973. But I do like to do outdoor things, and I went to Harney County and Malheur County in my late 30s, early 40s, met some nice people over there, including this guy. And my wife, who testified last week, I met her over there. She worked on a ranch, and she married a lawyer and ended up coming over to Eugene. I was lucky. I was also lucky to be able to go to these counties and learn their culture and their rodeo. And I have been to many rodeos, not only in Jordan Valley, but to Harney County, the Harney County Fair, Pelton Roundup. I've seen Big Loop many, many times. Maybe I just wasn't looking closely, but I've never seen a horse seriously injured in that particular event. Unfortunately, I did see a bronco in the saddle bronc break its leg. I've seen calves injured in calf roping. It does happen in rodeo. If you're ever asked, do you oppose animal abuse? Of course you're going to say yes. Would you vote for a bill that limits animal abuse? Of course you would. But the answer, or the question really is the Big Loop roping, and that's what I'm concerned with, is that animal abuse? I contend it is not, and that's why I opposed the original bill as written. It's interesting because we have laws in Chapter 167 in Oregon. If you go to Title 167, that is the animal abuse laws of the state, and it defines animal abuse. One, two, aggravated. But it's also interesting that in the exceptions to the application of those laws is rodeo, livestock. This bill really is intending to treat horses, livestock, like pets. I'm not trying to in any way justify the intentional tripping of horses or the abuse of horses. But in our culture today, livestock under the laws is one thing, pet ownership is another, but with horses, it's really a combination thereof. You know, I grew up with my friend Flicka, Fury, DeRoy Rogers. Horses are absolutely wonderful. But to the people, really, of the rodeo culture, they look at them perhaps just a little differently. But they love their animals and they treat them very well. This isn't a real culture war, though. What this is and what I was concerned about is when I went online and did my research, all the videos that I found about abuse of rodeos were sponsored by sharkonline.org. Go online, watch these videos. They show some terrible things. But what I did find when I went to their main website, and that's why I think this bill is really kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing, on the website, they state, and I'm just going to read it real quickly. It says, "We're a small core of volunteers and staff. We are tirelessly against bullfighting, pigeon shoots, turkey shoots, canned hunts, all hunting, rodeos, zoos, circuses, and marine parks." They really don't want rodeos. And this is just the first little chink of the armor. So they're going to find a sympathetic victim, which is horses, and they're going to try to carve a niche out. That's this year. What's it going to be like next year and the year after? You know, if this was such a bad event, why would these thousands of people year after year with great families, great people who you would like and always come to this events? If this was really cruelty to animals, the marketplace would wipe it out.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you again, panel. Appreciate
thank you.
Especially those who have traveled so far. Appreciate you taking the time to come over.
Kenda Kimboroskis.
Kenda Kimboroskis.
Adam Fuentes.
Adam Fuentes and Cindy Burko. Please go ahead, just identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker and members of the committee. My name is Kendra Kimboroskis. I live in South Clackamas County. Our local rodeo is the Malala Buckaroo, and every July 4th, I look forward to joining our family and friends at the Buckaroo. As an Oregon equestrian and horse enthusiast, please accept my testimony in support of Senate Bill 835, including the Dash 9 amendments. I was born to a horse family. I have been around horses all of my life. In my early years, I broke colts for my father, which then went on to be competitive sport horses. In college and in my early 20s, I earned extra money by riding and rehabilitating ex-race horses so that they could find new careers after a life on the racetrack. Throughout my tenure, I have interacted with hundreds of horses. I began riding as a toddler, literally before I was walking. I currently own 4 horses, and I'm an active competitor in the sport of dressage. I have started and trained all of my horses, including my most recently acquired BLM Mustang Mare Patience that I'm now competing in dressage. And I brought you a picture of her. She's right here. Patience was a wild horse. She was born in the South Steens of Oregon, rounded up and auctioned off at 3 years of age. Many people would suggest that because of my mare's age at the time of the roundup, she would not make a suitable mount. Patience has progressed, however, in her training because of kindness and a gentle approach. Had she been roped and tied down, she would currently be a terrified and possibly dangerous animal today. Horses are incredible creatures. They are highly intelligent, sensitive animals. And while horses are sturdy and durable, they can be equally as fragile and delicate. With such large bodies and relatively small legs in comparison to their body weight, for example, Patience weighs 1,400 pounds. The slightest injury to a leg, neck, or to the back can be a career ending for these magnificent animals. That is why I was horrified to learn that at some local unsanctioned rodeos, the sport of horse tripping was a regular and featured event. Horse tripping is cruel, unnecessary animal abuse and should be banned from all rodeos immediately. The sport of horse tripping is psychologically traumatizing for the horses. The process of being chased and tripped is terrifying, and these young horses learn a deep-seated fear of people, making them unsuitable and unsafe as companion animals. I've heard some testimony on this bill that suggests that outside of the sport of horse tripping, roping a horse by its legs is sometimes necessary to control an unruly horse. In my life of living with and interacting with horses, there has never been a single episode when I felt that the only solution to controlling a horse was to rope it by its legs. People who understand horses know that such an act would only intensify an already heated situation, making a frightened 1,000-pound creature even more terrified and increasingly dangerous. The sport of horse tripping is cruel and makes those of us in the horse industry look bad. We have banned cockfighting and dogfighting as cruel practices, and now it's time for Oregon to say no to horse tripping, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Adam Fuentes. I'm an ex-bull rider, PBR, and right now I'm training horses, natural trained horses. the way I train horses is all logic, psychologically and stuff. You know, I don't use whips. I don't use any stuff to. I can hurt the horse because the horses have a brain, like a human's. You know, it's something you can. I'm just use my hands and my body language, and the horses listen so well. So I don't, to do rodeos, I used to do rodeos a long time ago in PBR, Professional Rodeo Association, and these guys don't use equipment to her and animals, you know. And my suggestion is when we rub those colts and their and legs and the front ends, these guys trip, break necks, and have a lot of problems in his brains, you know. And we can take a test by ourselves. We can run, and somebody can rub this leg, and you can feel what's going on. Because the brain of the horses is not like our brains, it's like big. These guys have two brains, and you can use two different things to work with those animals. One of those things is you can use and abuse, or you can use by your mind. You know, the way I use my mind to these colts, Broncos, I make those horses in 45 minutes. If I want to put the horse in the ground in 45 minutes, use my brain, and I put the horse in the ground without roping the legs because I'm a natural on training shit, you know. I'm training horses natural. I don't use whips. I don't use carrot sticks or stuff like that, rope. I use my brain. And thank you for listening, and we're going to do this for these animals, you know. I'm sorry for my English, but you guys understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Barker, and thank you, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Burko, and I am a happily retired citizen from Polk County. I have just provided all of you with a handout from Dr. Barbara Call, DVM, and also the founder of the Oregon, the United SPCA. I encourage you to read every word that she wrote. It's a very important piece as she sheds light on this horse roping tripping issue. I have opted to present my own testimony instead of Dr. Call's, as you do have her testimony in writing. But let me just say, let me say that I have been around horses for nearly 60 years. I'm a rodeo fan, and I'm a former competitor. I used to compete in barrel racing, stock horse racing, and I love a good fast horse. And at one time, I was even a heel roper. My late husband roped the head, and I'd rope the heels, and I finally figured out the cow wasn't having any fun, so I gave it up. But I've trained horses, I've bred horses, I've rescued and rehabbed, and rehab neglected horses. I know them well. I know horses very well. And it's my understanding that this horse roping event is patterned after the vaquero technique used to slow down a green or untrained horse to begin sensible schooling. It's important to remember that the participants of this event are not necessarily horse trainers or vaqueros. Anyone who can scrape together the entry fee can rope a horse. And due to the number of amateur ropers participating, these terrified animals are too frequently injured or traumatized to the point that they are forever useless as working partners. Too many are ultimately destroyed, and Dr. Call's testimony will refer you to that. I can tell you firsthand that this ranch rodeo practice of horse tripping has no place in responsible horse management, or by no stretch of logic is it a precursor to acceptable training to ensure the best outcome and life of the animal being roped. Horses are, by nature, very fearful, and the experience of being hurt by a lariat or a stiff riata makes a lasting impression on them. Their very anatomy puts them at extremely high risk for injury if they are roped and thrown to the ground. The practice of competitive horse tripping benefits only a handful of contestants and at a huge risking to the well-being of the animal. Now, whether or not the intent is to trip the horse is moot. When a stopwatch is added to such an event and an animal is roped by the legs, the potential for serious injury exists. You heard testimony last Wednesday suggesting that these horses are given a second chance at life as the hapless victims in this event as opposed to slaughter. Being strongly connected to the rescue community, I would call that statement at best ridiculous. I know for a fact that these horses can be placed in loving homes as a viable option, provided that they have not yet been driven insane by repeated prodding with electric shocks and chases and captures with stiff lariats and riatas. I urge you to vote in favor of Senate Bill 835 to protect these trusting animals, and in doing so, preserve the integrity of rodeos everywhere. There's a lot of rodeo left without this event that is practiced in a small but growing number of amateur rodeos around the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Noe Roscoe, Juan Correa, and Francisco Gomez, Arleo Gomez, come up and testify if you're available. Maybe they're in another floor. How about Jose Nepolis, Kelly Grill, and Francisco Navarro? Also not here. Okay.
Hi, I'm Francisco Navarro. I'm here to representing Charros Association of Oregon. We are a small group, but we have a long, long tradition around horses. I want to oppose to the initial SB 835, and I would like to suggest some modifications. Normally, all these testimonies say the people who participate is not a conscience or take care of the horses. But believe me, everybody in there love the horses. Everybody in there love the traditions. Everybody in there want to be safe, especially because the horses are the partners and the most important part of the in rodeos and charreadas. In the Mexican tradition, we not only rope horses, we also train for dance and other stuff. But in this point, the rodeos and charreadas want to be preserve the culture, the traditions. And Oregon is basically grow over a horse. This is the west of the USA. So we want to support the rodeos. We want to keep our traditions, because charreadas, it's not only rope and bulls, and it's many, many around it, like the music, like the suits. So in charreadas, we want to keep this heritage for our sons and grow together, because now many of our kids, they are not Mexicans, they are Mexican Americans, and they got this tradition of USA, and they got this tradition from Mexico. And believe me, the horse is very important, and this practice is really, really part of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Russ Mead, Teddy Smith, and Kay Kilgore. Please go ahead, just any order.
Yeah, go ahead.
Identify yourself for the record.
Hi. Good afternoon, Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Teddy Smith, and I live in Clackamas County. I'm here because I am in support for SB 835. And why? Because I have a horse chirping on my neighbor's property adjoining mine. It's been there since 2007. In August, my family and I were eating dinner when we witnessed a yearling trip herself. I mean, she literally fell flat. And we all jumped up and looked, and my son says she has a lasso on her left foot. She tripped herself. I would like to address four of the testimonies we heard from Wednesday. And one is a couple gentlemen addressed that this is their culture. Well, a couple different cultures come to my mind, and one is incest. In ancient Egypt, it was to prolong their lineage. Cannibalism. 19th century, it was widespread to eat the members of our own culture. Were those cultures right? No. Cultures should be growing and evolving for what is appropriate for the times. I also heard a horse's second chance. The yearling horses that I photographed with scars and wounds were born and raised at that property. Catching your horse, I totally agree with the testimony. If the horse likes you, it's not hard to catch your horse. I have witnessed many unsuccessful attempts of my neighbors in their field trying to catch their horse. The attendance to the rodeos would be jeopardized. Do these attendees only show up for the big looping? Do they have the statistics on that, that, you know, people wouldn't come to the rodeos if they did not do those? I do feel that it is risky for me to be here to testify for this bill because I am known for my pictures and stuff, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my name is Kate Kilgore. I was born and raised in Eastern Oregon. I've been going to rodeos literally since I was out of diapers, and I had to ask what a horse tripping event was. I attended the Eastern Oregon Livestock Show from the time I was probably two or three until I was 18 and left home. We had a very nice, small rodeo. The town of Union, when I grew up, was about 1,400 people. Probably the whole county showed up for the rodeo. In addition to the traditional rodeo events, we also had pole bending, we had pari-mutuel horse racing. It was all in all an enjoyable 3 days that I looked forward to, particularly as a grade school kid, because I was going to be out of school by then. And I've been around horses. I worked at the racetrack for almost 20 years as a paramedic. I've seen more fractured front legs than I care to even think about. That is one of the most delicate parts of the horse's anatomy. That and their intestinal system, which is suspect. Horses know their prey, which is why the roping event is so successful. The horse knows that it's being chased by a predator, and it runs at full speed. And I well know how fast horses can go because I followed them with an ambulance for almost 20 years, and believe me, they outran us. When I went to the Oregon Horse Country meeting last Monday and explained this event, they all spontaneously signed a piece of paper that said they were supporting Senate Bill 835, and I turned that in as supplemental. Any questions?
Thank you. Would you have objections to the amendment that says that qualifies it as being intentional, makes it prohibits intentionally doing that?
Yeah, I support the amendment.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Chairman Baker, committee members. My name is Russ Mead. I'm a, for lack of something less subtle, I'm an animal rights lawyer. I'm an adjunct law professor at Lewis and Clark Law School in the LLM Animal Law Program, as well as general counsel for Animal Law Coalition. Last July, on July 7th, I drove to Harney County to photograph one of these events. We were hearing that the events don't take place, that the animals weren't tripped, and of course we believe this not to be true, so I took a trip down to the rodeo, and the first thing I'll say, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but the organizers of the event as well as the participants did not want me taking any videos, and I will just flat say prohibited me from taking videos, so I wish I could show you videos. What I did have was several still cameras with me, and they did everything they could to stop me from taking photographs of the event. So these photographs are often blurred. They were taken between the legs of horses. At one time, I was surrounded by as many as 10 mounted riders to stop me from even photographing this event. I was also threatened. But what I want to do is to show that these events do take place. This was last year. This was in Burns, Oregon. These photographs were taken by myself. I witnessed this myself. We're having technical difficulties, so I can't post this. But this first photograph just kind of lays out the event. Two mounted riders take off chasing a horse. They're going at full tilt. The first rider then throws a rope around the neck of the animal, and if you can see in this case, this horse's head is literally being just crammed into the dirt. There's no other way to describe this, and again, this is something that I witnessed myself. I got another photograph of the neck roping, which was quite disturbing. This photograph here, you can see how tightly these horses are, that rope is pulled. You could literally hear this horse gasping for air all the way across the arena. I could hear this horse gasping all the way across the arena. And then the second rider comes and, of course, attempts to rope the legs of the horse. It was remarkable that I was able to capture this. There was a person blocking me on this side, but you can actually see the rope going around the leg, so I managed to capture that just kind of still motion as the rope was going around. And then the final shot is the outcome, of course, and that's once the ropes were around, this horse just absolutely came tumbling into the earth. There was nothing kind about this, in my opinion. This is animal cruelty. This is not sport at all. For these reasons, I would support the passage of 835. I'll also say as a lawyer that the amendments appear reasonable and appear the kind of compromise that it takes to make these types of things happen. And on behalf of myself, I would support those amendments. I'd be glad to answer any questions about this event that I witnessed.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Kat Cohen, Mike Breeze, and Miguel Serrano, please. Please go ahead and any order, just identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mike Fries. I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau. I'm also a proud graduate of Jordan Valley High School and have a law degree from across the street at Willamette University. Since then, I've lived in the Willamette Valley. Oregon Farm Bureau opposes Senate Bill 835 as written. First, Oregon already has in place statutes to prosecute animal abuse. Some of the stories that we've heard by the proponents of the bill, if this was truly animal abuse, prosecutors, law enforcement officers have enough discretion to prosecute those involved under ORS 167.320 through 167.335, which makes it a crime to either, one, intentionally, knowingly, recklessly cause serious physical injury to an animal, or fail to provide minimum care for an animal. This also leads me to my second point. Oregon Farm Bureau opposes Senate Bill 835 because the bill bypasses current animal abuse statutes, making an exception for certain horses under certain circumstances in certain events. The Farm Bureau cannot support a legislative proposal that creates a different standard of care based on the type of animal and the use of the animal. As many of you know, our members own a variety of livestock animals and pets. We do not want the legislature carving out an exception to the animal abuse statutes because of the type of livestock our members own and the purposes for which they use them. Third, Representative Vance brought up the point in the previous hearing, we share the same concerns that this bill as drafted creates concerns broader than rodeo events, and I think that those are going to be addressed. And fourth, there are concerns that this is, it really is an attack on an important agricultural heritage, and we take those concerns very seriously. We've had members contact our offices that want to keep these traditions alive, and although there are those that disagree, we would like to see more information as to why this is animal abuse. One thing that is missing from the record, in my opinion, is any statistical evidence that there's a certain percentage actually injured. We heard in previous testimony that they really aren't hurt, in fact, during the roping itself. And so I'd hope that you all would gather some more information on that, if that truly is taking place. We have not heard any rodeos that actually support this bill, at least from our office, and we've had several calls of rodeos that do not support this bill and urge that it's not passed. And with that, I'll stand for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Baker, representatives, for the opportunity. My name is Miguel Serrano. I am the president of the Unión de Asociaciones de Charros State of Oregon. I represent more than 500 already as a charro community that are growing so fast here in the state. First, I would like to start with you a bit of history of how I come part of president of the association here in the state of Oregon, and how I build an association here in the state. I come to Oregon in the year 1994. I was already early married, and I had my first kid. Now I have four. Just half what my dad had. My dad had 11 so far. I have many dreams and goals when I move here. My first goal was for my family to have better options in life, with better schools and better future. I moved from southern part of California, and my other goals of moving to Oregon include a dream owning a place of my own, and a house with enough land and space for me to be able to have horses and teach my family more about my culture, traditions, and the way I was raised. In 1998, I was able to make one of those dreams come through. I have a property with my family, and I had horses, and we were in enthusiasm as it kept and growing. Soon after, many of my friends and other relatives became more involved in bringing our national traditions and Mexican folkloric here to the state of Oregon. At that time, in 1997, another dream came true for me. I was come here to get a better life. I got my own real estate license. Since then, I'm in real estate. In 2005, another dream came true. I was able to join Charro Association from the state of Nevada. It was a very long trip to drive to go and for the events outside the state. Being a charro for me meant the world. If you were to compare this with other sports or habits, I will say that it will be the equivalent of making it to the mastering gold. And you are a runner, it will be a big as a making it to the Boston Marathon. Big name of charro finally gave me a recognition and representation of the art and what I true talent Mexican cowboy really is about.
Only a few years after I started my own association here in the state of Oregon, means the Union de Asociaciones de Charros. This means I shortened the distance and saved money to go to the event, Charreadas events, and I was able to make more than five teams in about 2006. And a group of Escaramuzas, you know, Escaramuzas teams, it's a girls, ladies teams, they're about half the beautiful event that we have. And I'm proud now that we have five groups of Escaramuzas with beautiful dresses. They wear the same big hat, charro hat, and they ride on side saddles in the horses. Requirements from any associations in the state through the Mexican Federación Mexicana de Charrería was required for every association to have at least one group as Caramuzas. What I meant is that for joint the Federación Mexicana de Charrería, which is in Mexico City, it required to have five group of charros, not less than that, and we met it in 2006, 2007, which was the first year when I found Charreria here in the state.
Thank you. We're about out of time.
Okay.
You could sum it up.
I'm proud of being, I am the first generation of charros. And I'm proud that my son is the fifth generation. I'm proud that now I have so many charros around me. I'm proud I was the founder here in the state of Oregon. We do rope horses' legs, but we don't treat them. We have very strict rules and regulations that comes from Mexico. And we adopt another, the last pages, we adopt more rules here for United States Charreria that I'm a judge to. And I'm the first person that I'm very strict at. Whoever drip a horse, do a horse tripping, here states that is going to be suspended from Charreria. Whoever does intentionally, because accidents happen. So, Senate, we oppose, Representatives, we oppose the state of Oregon Charreria. We are opposed to Senate Bill 835.
Okay, thank you. And I think the amendments we talked about earlier will help qualify that you have to intentionally do something wrong. Okay. And thank you very much for your work with the young people. That's very important today. And I think you're probably keeping all of them busy and out of trouble. So
yes,
thank you very much.
That's the main purpose.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Thank you. Steve McCarthy. Okay, Steve McCarthy, please. Okay, I believe that's everybody who's had signed up to testify in the bill. Is there anybody else who would need to testify? And we don't have the fiscal information ready to be able to move the bill. Oh, one more coming up, okay.
Hello, I'm sorry. I was not signed up. I wasn't aware this was happening until yesterday.
Okay.
I was raised
And you need to identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Joyce Lindner. I currently live in Linn County. I was raised in Texas. I have horses. I've had horses all of my life. The main objection I have heard to this bill is the slippery slope. Oh my God, they're going to take away our rodeos, which is not what this bill is about. And the saving of the culture. Well, this bill won't stop the side saddle girls and their pretty outfits, which I admire greatly. But this is a cruel practice. There is no justification for it. I currently have a 35-year-old mare that has been lame since she was 2. She was lame when I got her. I had a small white horse when I was 12 that was purchased after such an event with his forelegs mangled. We spent a year trying to rescue him. We finally had to put him down. He was insane. He had been terrified. There's no excuse for this. It's embarrassing that this should be legal in Oregon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I won't take up too much of your time. Good afternoon, Chair Baker and members of the committee. My name is Marie Burcham. I live in Multnomah County. I'm an equestrian and horse owner. I've been riding since I was a child, and I'm here in support of Senate Bill 835. I studied equine science at UC Davis with a focus on horse physiology, and you've heard other people testify about how fragile horses are, and what I learned in school and working at the UC Davis Veterinary Hospital was that is absolutely true. Their legs are very fragile. Their cervical vertebrae are very fragile. Throwing a horse on the ground, even if they're not going at top speed, can injure them permanently, which is bad for the equine industry. I personally own a horse who has been roped. She was a rescue. She is still terrified of men in cowboy hats or men in jeans, and she probably will be for the rest of her life. I cannot compete her because of this. Luckily, she is sound, but traumatized, and these rodeos, these unsanctioned rodeos that do the horse tripping are pumping out these injured stock in numbers that the equine industry cannot support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll have to close the hearing on Senate Bill 835. And we don't have the paperwork to be able to move the amendment today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 48. Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Can I say hello? Ted Paul.
Senate Bill
48. I just wanted to say, I'm kind of against these things, so anything you can do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call the meeting in order, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 40A reduces manufacture of marijuana from a Class A felony to a Class B felony, reduces possession of 1 to 4 ounces of marijuana to a Class B misdemeanor or a greater amount to a Class C felony, makes possession of less than a quarter ounce of marijuana product a Class B misdemeanor or a greater amount to a Class C felony, declares an emergency effective upon passage. There is an amendment to this bill. This bill, as amended in the Senate, originally moved violation possession of less than an ounce of marijuana down to a B violation, which changed the fine because statutorily the fine is set at $650. This created a negative revenue impact of around $2 million to change the fine from a presumptive from $650 to down to $250. So there is an amendment right now. It's A3, which would put that fine back at $650 just as it is today.
Hey, thank you. Dale Meyer and Peter Kramer.
Thank you. Chair Barker, members of the committee, Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. As originally introduced, Senate Bill 40 was a very simple bill. It was just a technical fix of aligning the classification level of marijuana with its status as a Schedule II drug. Over on the Senate side, though, it became a vehicle for a bigger policy shift by way of making a misdemeanor possession crime. And so I'll go through those changes. But the good news is that if the amendment is adopted that Mr. Schmidt pointed to, then there will be immediate cost savings by these recalibrations of $2.43 million in the current biennium, and in the 2015-17 biennium cost savings of $3.88 million. So as to the first change, which would simply be the technical fix, what happened was it used to be that marijuana was a Schedule 1 controlled substance, and subsequently now it's a Schedule 2 controlled substance, but our crimes in our statute still reflect the old calibration of marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug. So Schedule 1 drugs have as their manufacturer, for manufacturing and distributing, it's their A felony, and possession is a B felony. For Schedule 2 drugs, manufacturing and delivery is a B felony, and possession is a C felony. So what happened in 2009, the legislature directed the Board of Pharmacy to reclassify marijuana as something other than a Schedule 1 drug. And in 2009, the legislature didn't know what level the Board of Pharmacy would choose. 2, 3, 4, 5. So subsequently then to session, the Board of Pharmacy decided we will reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug down to a Schedule 2, and that's what it is today. But the legislature's never caught up and cleaned up the criminal statutes to calibrate the crimes of marijuana manufactured, delivery, or possession to reflect that Schedule 2 status. So that's what the technical fix does. Then, as I say, over on the Senate side, there was interest in using this bill as a vehicle for another policy shift, which would create a misdemeanor possession crime. As our statutes currently read, possession of less than an ounce of marijuana is a violation. Possession of more than an ounce of marijuana is a B felony. That is the biggest leap from one crime to the next in the entirety of our criminal code. So with the technical fix, possession would be a C felony, but even that, to go from a violation to a C felony, is still a pretty big jump. So there was a combined effort. It was driven really by Senator Cruz and Senator Prezonsky to create a misdemeanor level possession crime. And that generated a whole bunch of different calibrations. But the bottom line was, as then they ended up breaking out marijuana from marijuana product, a term really to define hashish. So as to marijuana, which is defined as the leaves, the stems, and the flowers, possession of less than an ounce is a violation. Possession of more than an ounce but less than 4 ounces is a Class B misdemeanor. And then possession of more than 4 ounces is the C felony, with the technical fix in there. With respect to marijuana product, hashish, possession of less than a quarter ounce is a B misdemeanor. Possession of more than a quarter ounce is a C felony. There are a number of states that do recognize middle-tier misdemeanor possession crimes for marijuana. The bulk of the cost savings from doing this comes from the DPSS, Public Defender Services Commission savings, because it's less, they reimburse attorneys less for defending misdemeanors than they do for felonies. And also, there's just residual cost savings down the road because they don't have to grand jury cases and bring officers in off of patrol and all that good stuff. So with the cost savings, again, there's immediate, in the current biennium, cost savings projected of $2.43 million, and for next biennium, it would be $3.88 million. We do agree with the amendment. What happened, currently, possession of less than an ounce is an unclassified violation with a presumptive fine of $650. I don't really know why the bill, and I wasn't the architect of a lot of this, but I don't really know why they chose to classify the violation as a Class B violation, but in doing that, the presumptive fine was $240, which created the revenue hit. So the amendment, as I understand it, simply creates the presumptive fine back again to $650, so there shouldn't be any revenue impact.
Okay, thank you.
Happy to answer any questions.
Go ahead, please.
My name's Pete Kramer. I'm a resident of Kaiser. I'm a medical patient. I agree with Miss here. Thank you for letting us hear this. I get to tape this for a community television station, Channel 23, to let the public see what you good people are doing here.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for doing film. Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to say something afterwards. Before you close out.
Okay, now's the time.
Well, Mr. Chair, we moved House Bill 3371 down to revenue from this committee. It's still sitting down there. We currently have House Bill 3460 that's down in Ways and Means, the subcommittee down there in Human Services. This Wednesday, Senate Bill 281 is going to be heard in on the House side for health care. And 281 is the bill that Senator Boquist introduced, but deals with traumatic stress syndrome. There is an amendment in that would create a work group that these other two bills I had mentioned, including this one here, this is bad timing right now with everything else that's in the building right now. We're dealing with marijuana. And I really do think taking into consideration what's going on with Washington and Colorado, not knowing where the feds are going yet at this point right now with this, that a work group makes more sense, and that's what the amendment to 281 is all about. Otherwise, if we're going to do anything at all with this bill here, it should be something addressed in the committee on public safety.
Okay, thank you.
I strongly echo the comments of my colleague. I would add to the list House Bills 3194, 3195, 3259, all of which do rather comprehensive and sensible marijuana reform. I even liked some of the other bills, and there are others too. This is one of many. Some of the other bills, for example, included in the concept articulating the number of plants that would be illegal and providing further guidance along those lines. So thank you for the attention to the issue, but that's where I'm coming down on this at this point.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I would ask Representative Olson, Representative Hicks, to consider, at least as to this bill, our original core function on our bill was to clean up the technical disparity. With the calibration of marijuana crimes being inconsistent with its current status as a Schedule II drug. So right now, when the crime of marijuana was broken out, the breakout criminal crimes for delivery and possession of marijuana was back when it was a Schedule II drug. It is now a Schedule I drug. It is now a Schedule II drug. And so there's a lack of disparity here between its the exposure on crimes to its schedule count. It's impactful. If you're convicted of more than an ounce of marijuana, it's a B felony, and you will never get that expunged because B felonies are not expungible. So if you feel that this policy fix with respect to the misdemeanor count merits further discussion in a grand global sense, that would be one thing. What I would ask you, in its original form, this did one thing and one thing only, is correct that technical disparity, and we would hope that this committee might see good cause to move forward with at least that.
Mr. Chair, members of Olson, I both think that that's a legitimate point. We are actively looking at, in the Public Safety Committee, one of the elements of the final bill may well be something on presumptive probation for marijuana offenses. So I think to the extent we're talking about something larger, it does make sense to do it in that committee. But at a minimum, I think the issue you're describing should be fixed this session.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 40. And open a hearing on Senate Bill 186A. We've had testimony on this one.
This is, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 186A. We've already heard testimony on this. This would be the warrant that is allowed for mobile tracking devices for violations of commercial fish, wildlife, and outfitter and guide laws.
It allows extensions in 30-day increments. Last time we weren't able to move this because we didn't have the paperwork on the A3 amendment. All of that is here now. The A3 amendment, you recall, changes the warrant requirements to a court may authorize the installation or tracking of a mobile tracking device for a period not to exceed 30 days. Upon application, the court may grant one or more extensions for a period not to exceed 30 days per extension. So it's not more onerous than was already there for the wireless tracking devices.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
The dash threes?
Yeah.
We're in a work session.
Thank you. Close the public hearing, open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash three amendments into House Bill, Senate Bill 186A.
Representative Krieger would like to move the dash three, moves the dash three amendments into Senate Bill 186A. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 186A as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves 186A as amended to the floor with a due pass. Please.
As it happens, I mean, in my community, I mean, we do actually have a lot of guide operations and the like. But unfortunately, we can't enforce the laws that are on the books right now. And so before we go expanding in any direction, I want to get us to a point where we're actually resourcing our criminal justice system already. So I'm not going to endorse expanding. I'm not going to vote for the bill, in other words, because I don't want to expand before we can even get to where we're supposed to be already.
All right. Thank you. Is there further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Martin.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Hicks.
No.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Robinson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Krieger, you want to bring that?
I can, yeah.
Representative Krieger will be the carrier. We're adjourned.
This is the official one that came out.